الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، طبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله أولياء ولا تنصرون. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat of Surah Hud that I recited for you says, do not incline yourself. Do not be inclined to those who do dhulm, who oppress and do injustice. And if you do, if you are inclined, then the fire of hell will pull you towards it. And you will not find any helper other than Allah. And there will be no one there to help you. Here, as we see, this ayat I took as the theme for the speeches that I'm going to give here in these 4 days, where the central theme is good, injustice, oppression, and this is obviously for us to understand this subject as to what is dhulm. Because as we are witnessing the dhulm that is happening in the world on and continuously, and nowadays we see this dhulm happening again in Gaza, where we see the atrocities that are taking place. And since most of you and most believers have been obedient to the leadership and have gone out to protest and to speak out against the dhulm, there is a need to understand this concept, what is dhulm, through Allah's book and through the seerah of the Prophet and the Imam. And to know what is dhulm and its opposite, which is adl. So this is these 3-4 days we'll try to analyze this so that we know what is dhulm, what constitutes as dhulm, where does it happen, when does it happen, what are the effects of it, what are the symptoms of it. How do you know someone who does dhulm from those who do not? Because many times we see that there are people who do not understand the concept. They think just mere taking a life of someone else is dhulm. Then obviously if that was the case, then those who took life for the sake of Allah at the time of the Prophet would be zalim because they took life. So taking the life of someone does not merely constitute zuhd. If that was the case, then we would have to say that Imam Ali alayhi salam has taken many lives and has shed much blood in his life. So we need to understand that what is dhulm, because it might be misunderstood by people and they might not know that why is what Imam Ali did was not dhulm, why is what Yazid did was dhulm. Because in this we need to understand, and from here we will be able to analyze and point out who is the zalim and who is the adil. Who is unjust and who is just. Because without having the proper understanding of it, then anyone who can raise a slogan to say that this is zulm, and everyone, you know, that when slogans are raised, people do not look into the slogan to see what it means, they just hear the slogan, listen to it, and follow it. So now, if we see, for example, Israel and the illegitimate state of Israel doing atrocities to innocent people in Gaza, if we call that zulm, we need to understand why is it zulm. And if the tables are turned, and if the people of Gaza now get their chance to take revenge against those people of Israel, why is that not good? Because we saw it in history as it happened. When we saw that Iraq had attacked Iran and went into Iran, no one was raising any slogan of zulm except for Iran. Then when Iran was able to beat back, not just Iraq, but all the people who were behind Iraq, and beat them back into their own country, and went inside of Iraq, now everyone was saying this is dhulm. You see, again, there needs to be a clear differentiation between what is dhulm and what is not, what is justice and what is injustice. So this will be the subject of these 3-4 days that we are going to be here. Right now, I just want to introduce the subject a little bit so that my youngsters here could also understand the introduction of it, and as we go along, inshallah. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allah says in this ayat, He says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. He says, do not even be inclined to those who do them. For if you do, the fire of hell is going to pull you towards it. So now, when we look at this issue in the Quran, of other than dhulm, we see that it is repeatedly occurring, and it's a theme that is throughout the Quran. Those who read the Quran will know that the issue of adl and justice and that of dhulm or injustice has been spoken of often in the Quran and in many places. And when we look at the whole idea of these two things, we see that the theme of Allah's book and Allah's deen and Allah's mission is to establish adl and justice and to rid the world of dhulm. When we look at the Quran, we see everywhere Allah emphasizing adl. We read in Surah An-Nahl, where Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمَرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah commands to justice, adl. So we see that Allah is making a command that we should do justice. Then another place, He makes it more specific to believers. In Surah An-Nisa, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. أَوِلْ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ أَوِلْ أَقْرَبَيْنِ. Allah says that all you who believe, be the establishers of justice. Establish justice in the land. Establish adl in the land. Walau ala anfusakum, even though the justice goes against you. Even though the justice might go against you, awil walidain, or it goes against your parents. Awil atrabain, or it goes against your relatives. Meaning, even if it goes against your interest, the job of Islam and the job of Muslims is to establish justice, whether it goes against our interest. You see, Allah is saying, do not look at your interest when justice is being established. Such emphasis is on adl. See that? Now you see that even when Allah's messenger spoke out, he said that Amara Rabbi Bilqist. Allah commanded me to do justice. See that? And in his example, we see also that when he gave justice to someone for stealing, and the order was given, he even emphasized the importance of justice by saying that even if my daughter was convicted of this, he brought in his own daughter and said, even if she was convicted of this, I would carry out the justice. I mean, imagine the importance that Allah is given to this issue of adl. And on the other hand, you see that he speaks out against dhulm and says that Allah is not unjust with anyone. And he says he does not like those who are unjust. He says that he hates those who are unjust. So here we see Islam is giving a picture of what it wants and what it wants to get rid of. So Islam is for adl and Islam is against dhulm. So until here we can understand. Now let's go at first to Allah and see in His belief, in His being, Allah, when He describes Himself, He describes Himself with two attributes. He says that Allah is adil and Allah is fadil. And then He negates dhulm from Him and says, Ma bidallamin lil abid. Allah is not unjust to His servants. So in justice, He says that dhulm you cannot attribute to Allah. Adl you can attribute to Allah. And hence, on the day of judgment, Allah will not be unjust. He will not do dhulm. And here, you know, just because of these words that I'm saying, which is adl and dhulm, my youngsters here might not understand. Elders have heard these words many times, so they know it from their own language. But let me explain what it is in a very simple way, right? So that the youngsters here can also understand what is the meaning of adl or what is the meaning of dhulm. If you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, with an example I can explain this. For example, let's say that I hire you to work for me. I say you work for me for one day, and if you work one day, I will give you $100. So for one day's work, I will give you $100. That's the agreement. So now you come and work for me for one day. Now if I give you $100, which was agreed upon, and you did the work, and I gave it to you, I gave you $100, this is called justice, meaning I did adl. I gave you what you deserved. Now let's say I gave you only 90. We agreed on 100, but I gave you 90 of obviously use that to complain. And you have a right to complain, because I gave you less than what you deserve. So this is called dhulm. Now let's say if I give you 110. Our agreement was 100. We gave you 110. This is not called adl, this is called fadl. Meaning I have done a favor to you. You see, now you understand. Adl means to give what you deserve. Dhulm means to give you less than what you deserve. Fadl means to give you more than what you deserve. Now if you understood these three things, now let me explain to you again what I was saying. On the day of judgment, Allah will not do dhulm. Meaning He will not give anyone less than what they deserve. He will not give anyone less than what they deserve. So either He will do adl or He will do
fadl.
So either He will give you what you deserve or He'll give you more than what you deserve. So for those people who did not believe in Him, He will not give them less than what they deserve, He will give them what they deserve. So He will be adil with those who did not believe in Him. And those who did believe in Him and obeyed Him, He will not do justice with them, He will do fadl with them and give them more than what they deserve. Simple terms, this is what adl is, this is what dhulm is, this is what fadl is. So for us, for those who believe and those who are mu'mineen, if they go to heaven, it's not because of Allah's justice, He's not giving you what you deserve. He is giving more than what you deserve. So those who do go to heaven, they will know that they did not deserve heaven, but it was Allah's favor by which they are going to heaven.
SubhanAllah.
See that. Understand this. This is the meaning of adl, this is the meaning of dhulm. In simple terms, my children. The real meaning for the adults will come inshallah later. Right? What it means and what it actually is. Right? We will see that also. But for an understanding right now as I go on. So now, the whole of Islam, when we look at the Quran, Allah wants justice to be established, adl to be established, and Allah wants to get rid of dhulm. Now these two opposites that Allah has mentioned, it is a constant theme in the history of man. And you see that these are not just two concepts, but Allah is speaking about two characters. The one is that character that emanates justice. The other is that character which emanates dhulm. And throughout you see Allah has mentioned this. Now the names might be different, but the idea is the same. Some places this is called adl and dhulm. In some places, this is called haq and batil. In some places, this is called light and darkness. In some places, this is called good and evil. In some places, this is called right and wrong. In some places, this is called truth and falsehood. And when we come to history of the Imams, this is called Hussein and Yazid. You see that? How it's coming down, and how these characters and history are coming down, and Allah is mentioning these two characters. Now let me now read an ayah for you that maybe you might know. And from here we'll go on. Allah says, Allahu waliyul ladina am yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila nur. He says, Allah is the wali of the believers, and His job is to take them out of darkness and into light. So there's darkness and there's light. Again, The same concept Allah is speaking of. But in different names, but the idea is the same. Darkness is a character. Light is a character. And then he explains about Tawud and those who do not believe. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. And those who do not believe, their awliya are tawud. Their awliya are tawud. And their job is to take them out of light into darkness. Now you know this ayat. Now let me explain it to you in this sense. You see, these two characters are there. Allah is saying that there are certain characters that can be defined by light. There are certain characters that are defined by darkness. Goodness is light. Piety is light. Honesty is light. Bravery is light. Iman is light. On the other hand, shirk is darkness. Dishonesty is darkness. Cheating is darkness, lying is darkness. And hence, you see, there is light and there is darkness. These are two different characters. All the attributes that belong to darkness, they yearn for darkness in order to expose themselves. All the attributes that belong to light, they yearn for light to expose themselves, to reveal themselves. Understand what I'm saying here? My friends, a criminal who wants to steal something, if someone wants to steal something, he knows it's wrong. His conscience says it's wrong. He knows this is wrong. He is doing it. But you see that a criminal doesn't look for day and daylight to come out and do what he does. He looks for darkness to expose his crime. Understand this? And those who do good, they are not afraid of the daylight. They want to do it in the daylight so their goodness can be seen in the world. Imagine, this is my brothers, this is a characteristic of a person. The people who have the attributes of darkness, their psychology dictates to them that they must expose it, that they should only expose it at night because they know that this is evil and evil belongs to darkness and hence only in darkness do they come out. And those who are in the day, who have the attributes of goodness and light, they want to bring it out in the light. So that their stand and their goodness and their righteousness can be revealed to the world. Let me give you an example so you understand this better. You see, on one side we saw, there are two incidents and I'm trying to put these two incidents together in the history of Islam. And I want you to see this. Both of them dictated murder and assassination. They wanted to murder, they wanted to assassinate. One was that assassination attempt on the life of the Prophet. There were all the tribes of the Meccans agreed that they should assassinate the Prophet. They came to do the deed. And I want you to see this. They came to do the deed. When they came, they didn't come in the day to oppose him and to attack him. They came at night, in the darkness of the night, so they cannot be seen. If a person is right, he is not afraid to say he is right. He doesn't come out in the dark and do it. He will do it in the daylight. But you see, because they knew they were wrong in what they were doing, they looked for night in order to attack the Prophet. It's another thing that Allah made them lose their intelligence and they didn't attack at night, they waited till the morning. You see, at times what happens is that Allah, He makes the enemies of Islam lose their aql, lose their intelligence. You need to understand this. Our Imam Jafar Sadiq Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
He said that this is a blessing, a mercy of Allah that He has made our enemies stupid. Now, they are not stupid all the time. In fact, you will see that they are very clever. They might be very smart. But when they made the plan to go against Allah's plan, then Allah makes them stupid. So now they came to kill the Prophet. They came to assassinate the Prophet. And they made a very smart plan that all the tribes got together and sent one person from each tribe so no one would be blamed. And they all came there and at night. And we know that Rasulullah had left and he had left Imam Ali in his bed. But they didn't know that. They didn't know that. So they were outside and they were waiting outside the house. Now, I would imagine this, that if you want to kill someone, isn't it easier to do it while they're sleeping? They waited there the whole night until morning. When asked, why did you wait the whole night? They said, we wanted him to wake up so we can do the job. But you would want to do it while they're sleeping, right? I mean, it's easier. He won't be able to defend himself. You're waiting there the whole night, and now you see, the whole night they waited, and they waited outside, whatever the weather was then, but the insects were there, the bugs were there. They're waiting outside, they are awake the whole night, and at the end, what happened? At the end, the whole night they were up waiting for the Prophet to wake up, so it's like the whole night they're there. What intelligence says that you are staying awake the whole night while the guy you want to kill is sleeping? You lost your sleep over someone who's sleeping. Just imagine what happened to their mind. What happened to their mind? I mean, which person does that? So in essence, what really happened was the whole night, it was as if they are protecting Imam Ali and making sure nothing happens to him. He had 40 bodyguards that night who were protecting him from anything happening to him. You see, they planned to do something, but Allah makes their plans and Allah makes their mind absorb and go down in such a way that no matter what they plan to do, it goes against them. And Allah, He gave that example so that we can understand that if you are worried about what's going to happen to Allah's deen or Allah's imam or Allah's mission, do not worry about it. Those who are aggressive against Allah and those who go against Allah and oppose His plan, Allah will change their plan in such a way that it will go against them and for the cause of Islam. I mean, sometimes we give the example of history, and a lot of people, especially youngsters, I see that they have this view of history that it's something ancient. Something ancient, you know, they might not relate the example. So let me give you an example now. You see, those who went to do whatever they plan to do with the believers of Ahlul Bayt. They went to do whatever they want to do. They had a person who had oppressed the Shia of Iraq. They went there for whatever reason they did. But at the end, what did they end up doing? You know, as we say, farewell to Bush, we need to remember some of the things he has done. Right? To understand what he has done so that we know how Allah, on one hand, shows us how he does things, and how these people, with all the intelligence they think they have, they do their things. On one hand, we see that these people went to Iraq to make their own stage over there, their own platform there, but at the end, they ended up giving it in the hands of the Shias. You see, what did they do? They took out Saddam, who was oppressing the Shias, away as an obstacle, away from the way of the Shias, and established the Shias in power. Did they want to do this? We don't think so. That's not why they went for it. But you see, that's what ended up happening. Now, who did this? Did we do that? They didn't do it, nor did we do that, nor did anyone else did that. Allah wants to show us that how He changes the plans of those who want to go against them, so that it works in favor of Islam.
Subhanallah.
And hence, when we see, my brothers and sisters, that on the night, when we see that night, when he came there, these people came out to assassinate him. They came to assassinate him, they came in the dark, because they wanted to hide their identity. If you want to get a criminal, if you want to arrest a criminal, if you want to do anything to someone who has done wrong, you are right. Who's going to blame you for it? If there's a mass murderer, and if you go there to kill him, who's going to say, oh, why did you do that? Everyone will be happy. They'll make you a hero. So if you were right, you wouldn't be going there in the day. I mean, you wouldn't be going there in the night. You would be going there in the day. But you see that because they went in the night, it shows that the character of darkness yearns for darkness so it can hide its identity and is afraid of exposing its own evil. This example, if you have in mind, now let me give you another example of someone who wanted to do right. Who wanted to do right and who wanted to do justice and go away from Zulm. So he was going from Zulm into light. He was going from injustice to justice. It so happened that when he decided, it was night. It so happened that when he decided, it was night. And they said, well, why don't you leave? He says, I cannot leave in the darkness. I want to show everyone that if Hud is going to join Hussein, it won't be in darkness, it's going to be in light. And hence you understand, this is a character Allah is speaking about. Those who do good and stand for righteousness, they look for day so that the whole world can see what is righteousness. They look for daylight. They're not afraid to hide themselves. They don't need to hide themselves. Only those people who have the attributes of darkness, they are the ones who are afraid to reveal themselves. They are the ones who are afraid to reveal themselves. So now what happened, my brothers, see? Allah now mentions this. And in the whole Quran, He mentioned that this dhulm and adl is known as light and darkness. Another name He gives for this. Now here, one of the things, you see, all the Anbiya that came to establish justice. This is the mission of Allah. Everyone should know this. Why did they come? Allah mentioned this in the Quran. He says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانِ لَيَقُومَ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ. He says that surely Allah has sent the messengers. He has sent messengers with clear proofs. And He revealed with them the book and the mizan. This is the standard. And when he revealed it to them, why did he do that? Why did he send all the prophets? لَيَقُومَ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that they may establish justice amongst the people. They may establish adl amongst the people. So you see, all the anbiya, they came for adl. All of them, they came to establish justice. All of them. So the whole mission of Allah is to establish justice in the land. My friends, understand this, how Allah is saying this. All the prophets came, all the imams came, all the books came, all the laws came to establish justice. So much Allah did to establish justice. And then you see what happened. Just this last thing I will say, and then we'll go on from tomorrow on this. What happened? All of this is done, and when we look at it, we see that, wait a minute. All of this is done, and still, justice is not established. When we look around the world, there's more injustice than there's justice. There's more zulm than there's adl. So what happened? All these prophets that came, all these imams that came, all these books, these laws, these regulations, and all these things, they came to establish justice. So what happened that it didn't happen? It did not take place. How did it not take place? Now you see there's more zulm than this is. Just to clear this doubt today, and we'll go on from here, from tomorrow, inshallah. Send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see, this is for my youngsters that they understand this very well. You see, the job of Allah is different than the job of shaitan and tawhud and evildoers. They do a different job. Allah's job and the Prophet's job is to build. Shaitan's job is to destroy. See, it's very simple. Like, for example, right now as I'm speaking to you, I'm being recorded by your camera. Now when you look at the camera, and you see, it's a very interesting device. With a camera. I look at the camera and I say, you know what, this is very good. It's very good. And let's say I want to go in the business of making it, building it, manufacturing. So now let's say, first of all, I need to go and study myself. I need to get some engineers to build a design for it. And building the design is not just enough. Now, we need to have a factory to make it. And when you open a factory to make it, there are regulations you have to follow. There are laws you have to follow. You have to do all these things. And after all the things I do, and spending a lot of money, investing a lot of money and time and effort, you see, that if I am successful, I go and the first camera is made in my factory. After putting in all that effort, all that time, all that money, following all those rules and regulations, finally I build the camera. Just want to see how hard was it for me to build it. I made so much effort. Now you give me that camera. Now, if I take the camera and I want to throw it on the ground, I throw it on the ground, and now that camera that took such a long time, so much effort and investment to build, is destroyed. You see, building was so hard. Destroying is so easy. You see, when you look at the imams, the prophets doing so much to establish something, and still it's not working out the way it should, it's because the job they are doing is different than the job shaitan is doing. They are trying to establish justice in the land. This is building something. Building a society. Building a community. This is always hard. But you see, Shaitan just comes along, takes that work that they did and throws it on the ground. And in one day that whole job is finished. Again. My friends, this is the difference between Allah's work and Shaitan's work. If we can understand this, what it means. Now let me explain this to you in more examples so you understand what I'm saying. In a very clear way. My brothers and sisters, why Allah gives importance to taqwa? Why, and on the other hand, why is Allah so much against ghibat? Understand this. You know why? So much against ghibat that if you do ghibat, it's as if you're eating the dead meat of your dead brother. Meat of your dead brother. It's like that. I mean, have you ever seen a dead person? And when we see that, you see the meat is rotting. Would you like to eat that? Allah is saying, this is what you do when you do ghibat. Understand this. And on the other hand, he gives so much emphasis to taqwa. Ittaqullah, all over the Quran. Taqwa. You see why, my brother, understand this. Building taqwa is Allah's job, is what Allah wants us to do. Now you know how hard it is to build taqwa. I mean, it's not like you learn about taqwa one day and alhamdulillah, you're muttaqina. You know, in order to build taqwa, it means that every day of your life, you are trying to abstain from haram. trying to abstain from temptations. Trying to forego of your desires. Every day of your life and moment of your life, you're trying to obey Allah. Day after day after day. After many months go by, after many years go by, then you see that your taqwa is built to an extent. You see, how hard was it to build that taqwa in you? How hard is it to build your character? It takes such a long time, years of hard work. And those who do build their taqwa, they know how hard it is. Day after day, they also have temptations, they also have desires. But to fight against their desires and to make sure that they do not do anything wrong, that they don't do anything wrong, that they build themselves and make themselves and obey Allah every day. It is easy to miss your prayer. Just one day you miss your prayer, you see your taqwa is shattered. So now what happens? Every day you're making sure that you're praying on time and that you're doing things on time. Every day of your life, my brothers and sisters, understand? And after all these years, now you build a character that others can look at and say, this person is righteous. This person is muttaqi. You look at yourself, you build a small essence of what is taqwa in your heart. After all these years, so now when you do all these things, for all these years, and build a character for yourself in one statement, in one sentence of one person, that whole character is destroyed. When you do ghibat, when you say something against someone else's character, what are you doing? In one sentence, you are destroying the years of hard work that he has put in order to build his character. This is the reason when a person is adil, we assume a person is adil. Adil means he did not do anything wrong. He didn't do any haram. He did all his wajib. That's why Allah said, even if someone says to you that this person is not adil, ask for proofs. Why? Because by saying this, you are destroying the work of many years this person has put in. My brothers, building something is very hard. Destroying it is very easy. And that's why Allah wants you to build, not to destroy. Allah wants you to build something, not destroy something. Building your character is very hard, but destroying other people's character is very easy. That's why Allah loves adl and justice. Allah hates those who do injustice. Understand this, my brothers. This is the essence, if we can understand. And from here, you know, that all these years Allah put in something. All these years he put in something, you did this work. For that one last moment of your death. You know? The whole life you were, like you worked so hard to build yourself. But let's say at the end of your life, you change. All that is gone. This is why Allah says that when you build something, make sure that you maintain what you have built until you die. Maintain it until you die. If you do not, then you have wasted all that effort. At the time of your death, you see, if that moment you die as a Muslim, then you have succeeded. You see, my friends, you just imagine this. The hard work that is done, only at the time of death can you really say that yes, it's been worthwhile. It's been worthwhile to do all this that I've done until the time of death. And when death comes to you, you're sure, then you can say yes. Yes, it's been worthwhile. Otherwise, if you have changed before death, then it wasn't worth anything. This is the reason. After many years of hard work, only when you die and when you're sure you're going to Allah with all those deeds that you have done, you're going in front of Him without destroying it. After doing all those good deeds, you know that with these deeds you're going to go to Allah. Then and then only can you say, Fustu bi Rabbil Ka'bah. You see, why did Imam Ali at the end of his life says, Fustu bi Rabbil Ka'bah? But now is the time for him to go, he knows it. And he has maintained what he has done all his life. He wants to show us, this is my brothers, that last moment is what is worth the most. Oh, I mean, you know, really, you know, lot of things, you know, to say. Just one example I will give you of this, and inshallah from here you can understand the rest. All of this we do. If you see Allah's creation, He created the earth for mankind. You know, we read these ayat in the Quran and we say, Alhamdulillah, He created the earth. Do you understand what He's saying? Saying that we created the earth for mankind. When was the earth made? Whatever the history, billions of years ago. When did mankind come here? 8,000 years. If you put the history of the earth in a clock, 24 hours, our existence on the earth is not even fractions of a second. You cannot even start to count it. 8,000 years after 3-4 billion years, we came here. Allah made the earth for mankind. Meaning it's been sitting around here getting ready so that we can come here. Well, 4 billion years it waited for us to come. And when Allah created man here, what did He create him for? He created man, 8,000 years we've been living here, so He created us. And all our history is for what? But imagine this, for Allah. To him, it doesn't matter how long he has to wait for it. He wants to see that final moment. Brothers, he created the earth. It waited here for 4 billion years. We came. After we came, for thousands of years, he waited. And he sent his prophets, his messengers, his books for what? So that لَيَقُومَ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that they can establish justice amongst people. So Allah is waiting 4 billion years for man to come here. He's waiting thousands of years. And all of that, Allah is saying, will be worthwhile. When? Only if adl is established. Only if adl is established. So even if it's established for 40 years, to Allah, that 40 years is worth the 4 billion years He has waited for it.
Allah.
of justice that will be established. You see, if we can understand that, that is worth more to Allah than all this history that has gone by. That is the goal, my brothers. And hence, when we see this, this is how. That when you build something, it is always hard. To destroy it is very easy. You know, it took the efforts of the Prophet, of Imam Ali, of Hazrat Fatima, of Imam Hassan. It took the efforts of all these people to give 72 people to Imam Hussein. You know, 72 people were given to Imam Hussein after the work that has been put in by all these people training man to read that level. Yes, you can see it and say that in one day it was destroyed by Yazid. Yazid's army. It's because building something is hard. Destroying it is very easy. After all those years of hard work, now you see what happened. You know, but still, if it wasn't for really looking at the aspects of what Imam Hussein had done and what this was meant for them, truly, some things that Imam Hussein had done that made this such a clear picture. All of this was destroyed in one day, but all Allah wanted from that one day was that his deen becomes transparent and clear from every other deen that will be called Islam. Really. That was established in Qatar. I'll explain, hopefully if I have time, I'll explain how did this happen. But most of you know this, you have heard this many times. Truly, the bringing, there are two things, amazing things that happened in Qatar. That is historical in its value. One was the changing of war, and the other was the Shahadat of Ali Asma. You know, it's like there has never been a time in history of any warfare, of any battle, of any two sides meeting each other, any conflict, where the person, one of the person in charge of one army that is supposed to win, that is going to win, that is going to destroy its opponent, changes its side and accepts death because of what the other side stands for. This is a history. Hur has made a history that has given Imam Hussein, in the eyes of the people of the world, credibility to see what is on the side that made this person accept death. You see, that was something you see that really truly changed. And the other thing that made Imam Hussein stand clear and this Islam and expose all that false Islam that was given to the Muslims after the death of the Prophet was the Shahadat of Ali Asghar. For every martyr, you can say that there is justification for what has happened, it's a battlefield. Even if you send someone who can ride a horse to come forward and fight on the horse, a soldier and should be fought. But there was no excuse. There was no justification for the Shahadat of Ali Asghar. No one can give this justification in any culture, in any tradition, in any history, in any warfare. No one can give a justification that you can kill a six-month-old child who's just asking for water. Imam Hussein's wisdom knew when he brought Ali Asghar to the battlefield why he brought him, and it wasn't Imam Hussein does not force anyone to do anything. It was in Medina that the sister of Ali Asghar, Sughra, wanted to keep him. Imam Hussein wanted to take Ali Asghar. Sughra said, leave my brother here, I will be alone here. Imam Hussein said that Ali Asghar should come with me. Sughra said, if he stays with me, then let him stay. If he comes to you by himself, then take him. Imam Hussein whispered something in the ears of Ali Asghar.
Allahu Akbar.
And without a moment's hesitation, Ali Asghar came in the hands of Imam Hussein. These are the children of the Imams. They are grown, they are born with immense maturity. Ali Asghar, 6 months old, doesn't have a tongue but can speak the language of a mature, of a person who is a mu'min. Imam Hussein takes Ali Asghar, and now you see that when Imam Hussein made the final call and said, Hal min nasirin yansurna, hal min mughithin yughithuna, is there anyone who would help me? Anyone who would help me? Hal min dhabin yadubbu an harb Rasulullah, is there anyone who would defend the haram of Rasulullah? These are the daughters of Rasulullah. These are the women of the household of Rasulullah. Is there any one of you amongst those who say La ilaha illallah who would be willing to defend their honor and their dignity? No one was there, and that's when you see Ali Asghar answered from the tent and said, if no one is answered, this is the reason I came with you, my father. I came with you for this reason, that I will answer your call and would not let your call go unanswered. And I will defend the haram of Rasulullah. And I will defend your cause for which you stand. Imam Hussein, when he took Ali Asghar in his hands out, and he wanted to go out in order to talk to the people, to talk sense to the people, he asked and said, listen, your animosity is with me, not with this child of mine. This child hasn't done any wrong to any one of you. Even if you see someone else's child who's an infant of 6 months old, if he cries, you will go to attend him and to see what his needs are. Because you see, a child that young cannot defend himself, cannot eat for himself, cannot clean up after himself. He is looking for help. It is natural that you help him. Imam Hussein brought out the most basic human elements in the army of Yazid and put that element in their face and said, listen, this is a child of mine that is going to die. You know, when he said this, he expressed this in a way that only Imamat can. Only Imamat can explain what Ali Asghar was going through. How can we even begin to explain what Ali Asghar is feeling, what he's going through? He used a term that says hudan. This term is used, my brothers and sisters, if you can bear this. This term Imam Hussein used and said, Ali Asghar is so thirsty that he has become hutan, he said. You know, hutan means to open your mouth and close, blow air. You know, this term is used, you know when? This term is used when you take a fish out of the water. When you take a fish out of the water, this term is used. And the fish, when it starts to die, first, there are three ways it says I'm thirsty. First of all, it jumps up and down. Because it has energy and power, it can start jumping up and down. Then when it runs out of energy, you see, it starts to turn left and right. It starts to turn left and right to say that I'm thirsty. And then when it cannot even do that. And it loses so much power. It loses so much energy that now it cannot even turn itself to say that I'm thirsty. Now all the fish can do, if you see a fish die, you know this. That all the fish can do is open its mouth and blow. Open its mouth and blow. This is the way the fish is saying, give me water. I'm in the last stages of my life. If you don't give me water, I'm going to die. Imam Hussein is saying, Ali Asghar's curse has reached such an extent that now he cannot even turn anymore. He cannot even cry anymore. All he is doing is opening his mouth and closing it. Opening his mouth and closing and gasping for air so that the moisture can come in. That when he brings it forward and leaves Ali Asghar and says, if you are thinking that I will drink the water, I put him on the ground. He puts Ali Asghar on the ground and moves back. He puts him and moves back. And when they did not even feed him then Imam Hussain takes him in his hand and that fatal arrow from the archer Burbala comes and hits Ali Asghar in the neck and goes in the hands of Imam Hussain. The injustice was such that Imam Hussain is afraid to throw it on the ground. Oin is afraid to throw it in the air. He takes this injustice, the blood that has been spilled with dhulm that no one can give justification to, smears it on his face. Because there is no one and no place that he can put this blood except that the creation that is the earth and the sky will start to cry before Allah and say that this injustice has been done on us. Imam Hussain puts it on himself, bears that mark on himself and says, let me be raised with this mark of injustice before Rasulullah and go before Rasulullah to tell him what his ummah has done and the injustice they have done that no one can answer to, no one can justify, unless that day it will be justified before Rasulullah, and Rasulullah will take that case before Allah. Say,